The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Bullpen. My name is Les Vogler, part owner in a basketball service, Vogler Siemens Center and Vogler Cattle. Just kind of wanted to come on. It's been a little while since we've done a new episode of the Bullpen. Quite honestly, business has been super, super busy, super good. We're so grateful. Really haven't had time to come in and record one. Took a little bit of time out today. Just wanted to give a lot of our customers and whatever kind of an update on what our policies are and Nebraska Bowl Service and Vogler Siemens Center. Really, business hasn't changed. We're still doing business. Actually, at Nebraska Bowl Service, we've got approximately about 120 bowls in there right now with about 40 bowl waiting lists. So appreciate everybody's patience. And I really, really appreciate all the employees out there putting in the extra hours, the overtime, and processing, getting through all these bowls and going through this. And the same with my folks here in Ashland at Vogler Siemens Center. Everybody's putting in long hours. I understand what all's going on. Everybody's got their own worries and fears right now with this whole COVID-19. So if you're going to come to our facilities, please don't be offended if we don't shake your hands. We might do the hit Nebraska here, we'll throw the bones or something. But we do ask that, of course, whenever you visit our facilities, you have to put booties on, and we make sure our sanitation is quite well. But just kind of, if you're coming from somewhere where it's maybe highly infected, maybe give us a heads up, and we'll do what we need to do. But just really want to thank everybody for all the business, because we are, even though the commodity markets are down right now here in agriculture and the beef prices quite literally suck, our business is booming, which we are very, very thankful for. I didn't expect it to be that way this year, even before this whole COVID-19 thing hit. But even since this has hit, things really haven't slowed down. It's really quite amazing, quite a testament to everybody out there trying to raise a good, high-quality beef product and improve their programs. So just want to thank everybody for that. And I, coming up here shortly, have a conversation with a very dear friend of mine, Darren Spears from Brentwood, California. He's got some interesting takes and businesses out there and from a totally different part of the world. But even though if California, you can all see, we're all pretty much the same. We're all in this together. We're all going to come through this thing strong. Just check on your friends right now in the ag community. Call a neighbor, talk to them, get them through this. Not necessarily just for the COVID-19 deal. That included, obviously, but just because of the whole ag economy, the prices, it's getting close to planting season here. Can't believe too many farmers are getting too excited about going and planting corn when it's worth about $3.20 a bushel and probably cost you closer to $3.50 or $4 a bushel just to put it in the ground. So stop and think about that. So talk to your friends and neighbors. We're all here for each other. And once again, really appreciate you guys. If you need anything, give us a call at Nebraska Bowl Service, Vogler Siemens Center, Vogler Cattle, and we'll do whatever we can to help anybody. With me today, folks, in the bullpen, I got a good friend of mine from Brentwood, California, Mr. Darren Spears. How are you doing today, Darren?
I'm doing great, Les. Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning, California.
Yeah, good morning, California time. Yep, just a short, brief history lesson on how you and I met. We actually met over a fuzzy butt, right?
We did. Yep, that's right.
Yeah, it was a totally an online deal. Sounds kind of creepy, but Fuzzy Butt was actually a cow that you purchased from us online, sight unseen, and we've been friends ever since. Darren, give me a little background. What do you do in Brentwood, California?
So obviously we raise a few cows and we farm a little bit less, but my primary source of income is I own a seed business. We're marketers, and we sell all kinds of seed, right? But our primary right. business is vegetable and tomato seed.
Yep.
And then we also own a greenhouse operation where we go starts or transplants.
Yep.
And that primary business is in the tomato industry for processing tomatoes and then some fresh market tomatoes as well, but mostly processing.
Mostly processing. And correct me if I'm wrong. Today is like the first day you're planting tomatoes in California.
Well, it's the first day back. We planted for 6 days, and then we got rained out for 6 days, and we're back in the field again this morning. Yep. So
okay.
We're back at it today. So yeah.
So you did get some rain, because I know the last time we talked, maybe you guys were a little dry, but now you got some rain, so everything is good in that department. So
yeah, we're a lot better off. We got 1.5 inches. Rain here last week, and that helped the hills for the cows and helped the beds for the tomatoes, and we're actually doing a pretty good job planting. Yep. A little bit muddy when we first started, but we're
right
now.
Yeah. So how many greenhouses do you have, Darren?
We have 290 is the number, I think. We're about 2.2 million square feet under plastic.
Right. Aren't you basically like one of the largest greenhouses in the United States?
We've been told that we're the largest facility under plastic in one site.
Uh-huh.
We don't know for sure.
Right.
But it's massive. It's on 100 acres of ground or 105 acres of ground, and it's completely covered in plastic hoop houses and probably 70% automated. It's pretty high tech, and we do know that we're one of the more sophisticated start nurseries in the U.S.
For sure. Right, exactly. So tomatoes is your main business, then you also probably in your off season from tomatoes, or maybe start another project in that, or can we talk about that? Or?
Yeah. We grow some other vegetables as well. We grow some cauliflower and some melons and some broccoli and have recently ventured off into the industrial hemp business.
Awesome.
Once it became legal and from the farm bill, then we started kind of investigating that opportunity for ourselves and our customers, and so we've been playing around with that a little bit. I'd say it's a little more than playing around,
exactly.
we're trying to make that work. We're actually in the process of growing. We're producing seed in those greenhouses right now. And so we're just at the tail end of the pollination period of that. And, so hopefully we'll be, going through the regulatory process on being able to sell industrial hemp seed here, in the next, 60, 90 days, something like that.
That's awesome. I know that's a lot. That's very interesting to a lot of, our listeners here back in Nebraska, because we are just, kind of starting to discover maybe that may be an outlet for some of the farmers or whatever to grow that. We'll see how all that comes down the road, but just a little more family history on your side back there. Your wife, Robin, love her to death, has a business called, what's her business called?
Her and my daughter have a business. My daughter lives in Texas.
Yep.
Went to Texas A&M, worked at Texas A&M. They own a business called Junk and Disorderly.
Yeah, awesome.
And, they have all kinds of fun. Yeah. Junk and Disorderly got in the cattle business here recently, too.
Yeah, I saw that. Some Scottish Highlanders.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
As Les, happy wife, happy life.
Most of the time, yeah. Social distancing right now, yep. We'll see how that goes for the next 45 days or whatever. And then let's talk. Yes. So your son, B, tell us a little bit about B.
Braden is a, I guess they've terminated the season. So he's a freshman at Boise State University.
Yep.
And he's a baseball player, pitcher, right-handed pitcher. He's a big kid. He's 6'6".
Yep.
That was hard. Unfortunately, that got canceled here.
Yeah.
A week ago, and so he's back home. My wife went and got him last weekend and brought him back home. So he's bouncing off the walls right now.
I bet. No more. Yeah, college life back to home life. Actually, unfortunately, we were planning a big weekend here because Boise State was actually going to come to Omaha and play Creighton in baseball, I believe, next weekend. So damn it.
That was a bummer. We talked about that all along. Les.
Yep.
Was And they started out, you know, at the program that just came back from 40 years being in hiatus.
Right.
And this is their first year back in baseball. And quite honestly, you know, I didn't know how good they were going to be. That head coach there, Gary Van Tol, you know, was a pro guy. He was a Chicago Cubs. He was a manager in the Chicago Cubs organization, and he started putting it together. And I'll tell you what, the guy's done something pretty special there. They were good. They were way better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
And they were.
It was just
ended up competing.
Yep, just getting to fun. So hopefully a year from now they'll be going again and stuff. So tell the family hi. But let's you and I, we've been talking more here recently the last few days. Obviously it's this whole COVID-19 thing going on. What's the perspective from your area out there? I mean, for the folks listening, you're from Brentwood, California, and that is not the same Brentwood that OJ went driving down, okay? This is actually a town. No. You're just east of San Francisco, probably. How far, Darren?
We're about an hour east of San Francisco. Okay. We're on the western tip of the San Joaquin Valley. We're right where all the water kind of accumulates in the delta, and they send some of it out to the smelt or try to keep the smelt, and then they take a little bit of that and allow the farming side to keep it. And so we're right there, in the San Joaquin Valley, and we're in Contra Costa County, and we are under a shelter in place.
Yep.
Now the whole state of California was put under shelter in place by our wonderful governor here a couple days ago. and he is special. But you know, we're in shelter in place, but because we're an essential industry,
right?
We're allowed to, you know, work and you know, do what we got to do. Although we had some problems with some of our crews this morning in the county next to us, they got stopped by the law enforcement and were told to go home.
Really?
Even though they were going to go work. So I think there's just some confusion.
Yeah,
you know, we work closely with the law enforcement. I think there's just some confusion there. Yeah. So we'll get it panned out today. We've got letters flying around and pickups and emails, and we'll get her squared up today.
Yeah, guys. Obviously
guys
it's
will be moving again.
Yep. It's a very fluid situation, as we both know. But that's the one good thing. The country knows that we all need to eat, and I wish it all came from America and we weren't shipping anything else in, but that it is what it is right now. But at least we are considered essential businesses, which, what the hell would they do without that? So
they'd have some trouble feeding this country without farmers and ranchers and the associated industries.
So right. Sure. But I mean, from your overall view, what is life like in California right now? I mean, it's a podcast, Darren. You can say whatever you want.
I know. No, it's an interesting where we live. Les, you came out and surprised us back in June. Where we live, we're right on the western side of the San Joaquin Valley, but we're also considered part of East County of the Bay Area.
Right.
So a lot of our town population, we don't live in town. We live about a mile outside of town, but a lot of our population actually travels to the Bay Area to work every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with shelter in place, a lot of those jobs are not considered essential.
Right.
And so our road right in front of our house, it's dang near an expressway during the mornings at 5:30 in the morning, you know, or 5 o'clock at night or whatever.
Yeah.
It's darn near expressway. And, it's eerily quiet in our area.
Yeah.
You know, there's no people driving around at night, and you know everybody's quiet, and it's eerily quiet. There's no doubt about it.
It's amazing. I mean, you're saying it's quiet. I just drove in here to the studio to do this, and I haven't been in Omaha for a while, but God, the traffic was friendly. I mean, even here in Nebraska, just drive right in. I feel so bad for the businesses that had to shut down. It's horrible, and to me, from my perspective, this is going to change. Unfortunately, I think it's going to change life as we know it going forward. And I'm not.
Yeah, I don't know. Les, I don't know what to predict here. I'm not going to hide it. I'm a Trump supporter.
Right. Me too. Yeah.
And I believe in what he's doing.
Yep.
You know, if he thinks something needs to get done, I trust that it needs to get done.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, commerce in the United States is become, I mean, it's at a screeching halt.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I got a lot of friends locally that, you know, are not involved in essential industries and they're on furloughs
yep.
and that kind of stuff. You just wonder what, how that's all going to sort out.
Exactly.
What's going to happen
the next time, something comes across the line, somebody gets a cold or a fever. I mean, I can remember every year here in Nebraska, certain schools shut down because they get the flu, because certain number of people get the flu. So they'll shut the school down for a little bit, but they've never shut the whole country down.
No, exactly. Everything's shut down. I mean,
yeah.
There's, you know, for you and I, we're huge sports fans, right? We
right.
talk a lot about sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going bananas. I'm watching the Olympic show. I'm watching the Olympic channel on my TV at night. I'm watching, you know, bobsledding, trying to find sports.
Yeah.
I'm going bananas.
I know.
But as a society, you know, it is, it's a crushing blow. And
oh, yeah.
I hope we get the common cold. You know, I don't want to understate what's going on. With
no,
COVID-19.
Exactly.
I don't understand it. I've reached out to some people that I consider to be medical experts, and
yep.
you know, they give you kind of two sides of it. They say yes, it's, you know, it's got some severity to it if you've got some, you know, some other challenging health issues.
Right.
But at the same time, they also know that, you know, it's creating a level of chaos.
Yeah.
That
it's a fear factor
that, you know, we don't understand. I don't know. It's a fear factor is what it is.
Yep.
And you know, you, like you said, I've never lived anything like this. I'm sure
nope.
you haven't.
Nope.
It feels like 9/11.
Yeah.
It feels like 9/11, but it doesn't go away every day, right?
Right, exactly.
So.
It's going to be an ongoing thing. So, hey, Darren, I know you're super busy. You got to get them tomatoes planted so we can get them shipped back here in Nebraska so I can have them on my salad and my ketchup and all that stuff. And then here's an idea. Just a thought. Everybody went out. I know you grow hemp in the off season or the seeds. What we need to do is get our entrepreneurial minds together, and we need to
yep.
come up with, because when this whole thing came down, they ran out to buy toilet paper. So what we're going to do, what I think we need to do is try to find not an antibacterial, but this is a virus. So we need an antiviral toilet paper also infused with a little CBD oil. Then everybody has a happy ass, right?
Yeah, happy ass. Happy ass.
Since we met,
and I'm all in on that.
Yeah,
so we can have a conversation about CBD.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I believe in that product.
Since we met,
we want happy asses.
Yeah, we met over a female called Fuzzy Butt. We're gonna create something called Happy Ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, brother.
No,
hey,
absolutely.
tell your family hi and keep planting them tomatoes and doing the other stuff. Tell Rob, tell Allie, tell B hi. Tell them to stay away from the California girls. Be in isolation. I know it's hard for him to do social distancing, but do what we got to do, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. He just hopped in the pickup with me, and he just hopped in the pickup with me.
Hey. So you there? So B, are you there?
Yeah.
How is college life, brother?
I love it.
There you go.
I can't put it in words on. Okay.
I got you. I won't throw you under the bus this time. We'll get you next time, brother. So keep that show.
Unless Robin hopped in the pickup too.
So oh, Robin. Robin. Yeah.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, honey?
I'm good.
Good, good. So, hey, while you're on, Darren mentioned your business with your daughter, Junk and Disorderly. I'm sure my folks here in Nebraska or wherever, whoever listens to the Bullpen would love to explain that to us just a little bit. What do you do?
Sure. So we bought our house in Texas when Allie was a student at Texas A&M.
Yep.
And started doing our decorating and, you know, really liked all the like antiques and farmhouse decor.
Yeah.
So we started bringing things back home for people would say, oh, can you find me this or can you find me that? Or we just found some really cool stuff in Texas that we don't yeah. have here in California.
Right, exactly.
Next thing I know, we also, of course, did a trip to Magnolia, you know, where we saw all the stuff that Joanna Gaines is doing. And I was standing in the middle of her little, before she moved to the big silo place.
Yeah.
And I was standing in the middle of her little warehouse, and I thought, gosh, I could do this in our barn.
Yeah.
And we all kind of laughed about it and joked about it. Well, then next thing you know, we are actually bringing antiques back from Texas and doing barn sales in our barn. And it just sort of has evolved over the last couple of years. And now Allie and I are, we're trying to do guided trips to Texas where we take people to Round Top and show them. Like, we've obviously made some connections with good sources of antiques and things. And so we're taking people on trips there and kind of sharing our love of antiques and the great people that we've met who have nice products and things. And so we're kind of trying to expand out in a couple different ways, but mainly is bringing it back here and then doing a barn sale. We're trying to incorporate some farm, I don't know, what would you call it? Like ag tourism, I guess, into it a little bit too. Because people, even though we live, you know, in an agricultural area, people don't really know anything about agriculture.
No.
And it's shocking because it's stuff that we've just grown up knowing.
Right,
and so we're
exactly.
trying to incorporate a little bit of that into it also. So it's something fun for her and I to do and stay connected and get to deal with things that we, you know, we enjoy. And so it's been fun.
But unfortunately, right now, that's all kind of been put on hold with the whole COVID-19 thing, I'm assuming, right now. So
yeah, actually, we do go twice a year to Round Top, Texas, where we buy our antiques, and the Antique Week was canceled.
Really?
The barn sale right now, we're supposed to be doing it in May. It's kind of on hold because we just don't know, you know, what's going to happen with all of this.
Right,
so. I don't think there's any industry or any business at this point that isn't affected by that.
No, exactly. We all are. So, how's your family doing?
Good. Okay. I just got a call this morning that my mom was not feeling well.
Yeah.
So I took her to the emergency room and, they actually did a test on her, but she just has a cough. But she doesn't have, like, she's not in respiratory distress or anything.
Yep.
So I think it's just her, you know. But she's in that age range where they worry about it.
Yep.
But they did do a test. They told her it'd be 5 days. Basically sent her home, told her to, drink.
So was she able to get the COVID test?
They did the COVID test, which
there
surprised me because she didn't have all the symptoms. But I think because of her age, and she was coughing, so they gave her the test. They told her it would be 5 days before they would have the results for it. But
Well,
I was surprised because she really didn't have all
because,
the symptoms.
Because everything we hear on the news, you can't get tested. Well, here,
that,
so that's actually good. I mean, I pray to God that hope she doesn't, you know, doesn't get it.
Right, right.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. And she didn't ask for the test, but they just said that they were going to do it.
Awesome. So that's good news. That's good news.
It's more fake news out there, Les.
Trust me, brother. I know. Yep. It's So, hey, you guys enjoy the rest of the day since you're all with Darren. Leave him alone. Be nice to him. All right. Don't
never, don't, never, never.
That's why we're friends, Les.
All right, brother. And we're gonna work on that toilet paper thing, Darren. So
I love it. Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, we'll talk to y'all later. We'll be in touch. Love y'all, and stay safe in California.
Thank you,
Les.
Everybody alone.
You bet. Yep. Bye bye.
A Parkville Media production.